What is all your prayers this morning? For several weeks, the Lord has been dealing with me on a subject. I believe it's intended for me first, and I believe that I'm finding that I am only just beginning to scratch the surface of what the Lord has in it. But I'd like to share with you where it is right now. I'd like to talk to you about peace. For several weeks, the Lord's been dealing with me. And you know, every one of us would love to have it. There's some times that we have more of it than at other times. This morning, if we were to grade ourselves on our peace level, 0 this morning, I have no peace at all. I'm in loaded up with troubles and I have no peace. Or 10. Just, I got perfect peace. It's just life is wonderful. We can move from those pretty quickly. This morning, I don't know how many of you had a little time to go outside this morning. It was a beautiful morning. Temperatures were perfect. No wind, no bugs, no nothing. I sat out on my porch. And you know what, in that span of time, I mark it off. I got a 10. There's nothing bothering me. But you know, life can move from those areas so fast.
Yes.
On my car, and you probably have it on your cars, you can now tell what your gas mileage is. And you can punch your button on it and reset it and start over again. If you want on this trip, I want to know what my gas mileage is. And I've been driving in town for a lot of time so I can reset it. I love to do that. And I love to do it when I'm out on the interstate and I've got a long downhill up ahead of me and I reset it because it tells me that my car is getting 50 miles to the gallon and I love it. Except, just like life, if you're going downhill, you're going to have to go back up the other side again. And when I do it, I just did it this morning coming to meeting. And it says I'm doing real good, but by the time I get here, I've gone up several, and it's pulled it way down from what it had on that initial. And it does that in life for us. We can have those ups and downs. I've got a 10, and I tell you, so quickly you can hit 0. And yet there's a stabilizing factor, I believe, that is for me, and I'm seeking the Lord for it myself. There are some songs that we sing in our red book that I can raise my hand to.
Yes.
That's my testimony right along with that songwriter. But you know what? I found there are some songs that I cannot raise my hand to. I have to say, that's my prayer. That's not my testimony.
Yes.
Because there are some songs that have a pretty high testimony. I want to give you one of them. It's song number 66. It says, I know trouble and no sorrow see today, nor will I borrow gloomy visions for the morrow. In my Jesus all is bright. The chorus says, glory to my Savior's name, walking on his holy plain. Nothing can my peace disturb, free and happy as a bird, singing joyful praise evermore. That's a 10 right there. To my soul all grace is given, and all gloom afar is driven. Walking in the light of heaven, all is everlasting peace. That's a 10. You know what's real easy for me to say when I look at something like that? Huh, they must be exaggerating. You know what it'd be better for me to say is, Lord, is it possible that I can have an experience that runs closer to the 10 instead of to the 0? I believe it's possible for us. Is it possible for me to say, you know what, I can have it on every other year. 3 years I have it pretty good. But on election year, oh, it's just stressed out. My peace level is almost gone. I think we can have it on an election year too. Because I'd like for us to start in a verse in Psalms in 42:5. There's a place that I need to realize, you know what? When my peace level is running real low, I can go somewhere and be able to receive help. 42, and in the fifth verse, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? What's the reason that my peace level is at zero? It says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Dan, why are you at zero? Put your hope in God, and it can bring it up. Because there was a prophecy of Christ, and we like to pull it out in at Christmas time. But it's Isaiah 9 and 6. I want to be able to have peace in my life. That verse that we just read says, why do you not have it? Hope in God. I'd like to read in Isaiah 9th chapter. And we could just about all quote what this is. But I think there's times that when my peace level gets down around zero, I ought to read this again. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. All these are titles that are given to Christ. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called all these. One of his names is, he's the Prince of Peace. The next verse says, of the increase of his government and peace, there won't be any end. There will be enough to go all the way with us till we step out into eternity. And then this was fulfilled. You remember when the angels were singing, Luke 2 and 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. It was what was intended when Christ came to the earth. I want to be able to give you peace. And I look at, he went through his mission. I look in Luke, the 19th chapter. At the end of all that he had tried to do, of the increase of his government and peace, there be no end. So he had peace for those that he came to. But at the end of it all, I look at this verse 19 and 41 of Luke. When he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. That's a sad ending to the other end of the story from the angels coming and saying, we have got good news for you. On earth, we're wanting to bring peace. And at the end of it all, he wept, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace. Now that's something. That was the very thing that the Jews wanted, was peace. I'm desiring to have it. He's saying, if you'd only known the things that belong to your peace, but now it's hid from your eyes. He came to bring them peace, and they rejected it. Because the peace they were looking for was that they would be able to be released from Roman rule. Get me out of Roman rule, and I will have peace. And instead, Jesus came along with a secret that he could have given them, that they could have had peace, a number 10 peace, and still been in captivity to the Romans. Because what he wanted to bring was a peace on the inside, that no matter what happens, there's peace there. And should he have delivered them from the Romans, there's only a matter of time, just like going up and down hills, where a gas mileage would have been great for them if he would have destroyed the Roman rule. But you know what? You got to climb another hill. There's something else. Maybe it would have been just their neighbor that caused them to lose peace after that. So instead, what he wanted to do was give them a peace that would carry them through the whole thing. And I believe he wants that for me, and I'm seeking him for it. That instead of my life being one of up and down, all of a sudden something hits and I'm at zero. And I feel like this is going farther with me now, is beyond this study this morning, is to realize, you know what, there's a peace that is really a conviction more than an emotion. That I'm not riding up and down on how I feel, but on what Christ, the Prince of Peace, has for me through these times. Because here's what he wants to give us in John 14 and 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I to unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to leave a peace with you that you don't have to let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. America would define peace. We would define peace as if, you know what, everything, Afghanistan, all these other places, we finally have them settled down. There are no conflicts in the world today. But about the time we feel like we got one here, there's another one pops up somewhere else. I was looking just the other day because I was curious, where all do we have military stationed in the world today? Every place that we have gone to establish peace, we leave some military behind to keep working, to keep peace there. And this is what, in 2011, it said the United States has a military presence in 150 countries in the world. We've got military in all those places saying, I'm trying to keep peace here. And it seemed like even with that, it pops up in another place or in some of those places. There is a peace, and I believe the Lord wants us to be able to have it. Philippians 4 and 7. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. To where you can have your neighbor look on to you and say, I do not know how you can have peace with this trouble coming to you. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts, and not just your heart, your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And I see that happen in the Bible. I look at Joseph way back there. Somehow the 13 years that he went through of wrongs being given to him, every one of those had the potential of putting him down at zero. I have no peace. But instead, somehow he was able to commit his life to God. And I believe that he believed God puts in my life those things that he sees best. And he was able to take each one of them. When he was put in prison, we don't see him making a list and saying, I'm adding that lady to my list of people that have done me wrong. Instead, it's like he woke up the next morning and telling the Lord, okay, here's where you have put me today. Is there some way I can be a help to somebody? I'm not at Potiphar's house making him money anymore. I'm in prison. But surely there's something I can do. And here comes two other men into prison. You know, he could have easily said, I know you're troubled. I am too. I shouldn't even be here. But instead, he's seeking to help somebody else. And it followed him time after time, to the point when he saw his brothers, you know, just the thoughts that come back to him at the sight of his brothers could have destroyed his peace. But instead, he was able to say, and this is in Genesis 45 and 8, it was not you that put me here. And you know what? If I want my peace level to stay in a higher number, it'll do me well to learn something from Joseph. It wasn't you that put me here. It was God. Job was able to do the same thing when he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think it moved Job into an area where he's not going. He's not riding the hills of I've got peace. I don't have peace. He was able to settle out knowing that God was in control of it all. There's another verse that will help me. Remember, our very first verse was, why art thou disquieted, O my soul? When it is disquieted, is there any help for me? Or do I just have to ride it out? Job in the 22nd chapter and the 21st verse. That's an interesting verse to me. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. When I first saw that verse, I said, I understand that. Every unsaved person ought to get acquainted with God and they will have peace then in their life. But you know what? I found out something. If my peace level is running low, I need to get more acquainted with God to where I can see that God is in control of all things. God has allowed this thing in my path for now, as Joseph did, and it brought Joseph a level of peace when he was able to commit it to the Lord. And I believe it'll do the same thing. And there's another verse that when my peace level is having trouble, I ought to go to it. That is in Psalms 61. in the first verse. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever felt that? My heart is overwhelmed. It's just like a flood of disappointments is washing over me. Here's his cry. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Here's my cry. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There is a place that when my heart is overwhelmed, I can either let it sink me down in despair and my peace level is zero, or I can ask him, lead me to the rock. I want to get more acquainted with who God is and how he can help me right here in this trouble, and my peace level goes up. Isaiah 26 and 3 is another one that I can check my peace level with. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So I find with that, I can check myself. There's a little checklist here for me to see if my peace level is running low. I'm having a lot of troubles in my life right now. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So possibly I could check back and find, you know what, I'm dwelling too much on the problem and not on the God that is able to help me through it. There is another verse of a song. I'd like for you to sing it with me. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. In the whelming flood, when all around my soul gives way, he is the rock that I run to. I was thinking, you know, in America today and over the last few years, our leaders have been trying to figure out how are we going to stop the problems that we're faced with. School shootings, the mass murders lately. How do we bring that to an end? And some of them have come up with the answer, gun control. If we can just have gun control, we will have peace in those areas. And I thought about something. Way back at the beginning of time, Cain and Abel together, you know what? They lived in a time when there was gun control. There was no guns. You could not go down and buy a gun. That tells me something. You know what? It's not the guns. It's a condition of the heart that is causing us the problem. Because you know what? Cain didn't say, oh, I wish I had a gun. No, he found what was available and killed his brother with it. And I'm thinking as America is looking at, I've got the solution for it. No, I want to tell you what the solution is. And I think it'd be good for us to remember these scriptures as the world around us gets worse. Here's the answer. Isaiah 48 and 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. You know what? America would love to have peace today. And here's the recipe for it. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. To America, or to me, if I'd only hearkened to the commandments, then my peace would be like a river. And so I can also take that. I can't do much about America having peace because they won't hearken to the commandments. But I think it comes down close to home for me today, desiring to live for the Lord. And I'm losing my peace. And he says again, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Well, I say, you know, my peace maybe is not like a river. I've got a lot of troubles in my life. It's like a faucet that's just dripping now. Don't have much flow to it. And how can I be in that category that if I'd have just hearkened to his commandments? There are verses, one of them is Psalms 55 and 22, that says, casting thy care upon the Lord. Other verses that tell us what to do with our cares. The song that we sing, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There is a place for me to have peace in the middle of a storm. Isaiah in the 32nd chapter and in the 17th verse, 32 and 17, the work of righteousness, when I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do, the work of righteousness shall be peace. Yes. The effect of righteousness will be quietness. You know, there's times I want quietness in my life. Yeah. I had it this morning sitting on the porch. Life was just peaceful and quiet. But it seemed like it doesn't last sometimes. A lot of things happen. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. 18th verse says, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. So it says it is available for us. And in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. And it's not saying because conditions all around us are favorable. It says in the next verse, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, right when there's a lot of trouble all around me, it's possible for us to live in a peaceable habitation. There are some things that I can do that can encourage peace, that can improve the amount of peace that I have. And there are some verses that I'd like to look at because I do have a part. You know, we read about Christ being the Prince of Peace, but you know, I have to allow Him to bring that peace into my life. And so here are a few of those verses. In Romans, in the 14th chapter and in the 19th verse, let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. I looked at that following after. You know, I want peace in my life. I want to be able to run my peace gas mileage at a higher level. Here's one thing to do. Let me start following after things which make for peace. You know, if I turn down a road and it says you continue this way 3 miles and you'll get to this location, it's the same way with me when I'm following after peace. You turn down this road and you start pursuing it, you're going to have more peace in your life. And another verse is in the 12th chapter of Romans. And in the 18th verse, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The part that I have to play, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then just in the Beatitudes, the one little verse, blessed are the peacemakers. A blessing extended to one who not just I want peace in my life, but I also would desire to be able to put peace in other people's lives. And to be able to do that, there's one more verse, Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer is able to give me more peace and the person that I'm dealing with. It's pretty important. So you remember the verse that says, if you run with a footman and they weary thee, how are you going to be able to deal with the horses? What are we going to do when the swelling of the Jordan comes? That's in Jeremiah 12:5. And as I looked at that, if I have trouble, I'm losing my peace because of what somebody said about me. What am I going to do when the big one comes to me? Yes. What am I going to do when the one comes that it not only has the potential to put my peace level at zero, but it has the potential to destroy my very faith in God?
Yes.
I was thinking about that, Luke, in the 18th chapter. And in the 8th verse, you remember where Jesus was saying, when he comes again, is he going to find faith on the earth? Is it possible that we can have things happen to us that would cause us to completely let it go? And he told us in that story about the widow that came to the unjust judge. She continually came to her. And you remember where it said, he says, though I don't even fear God, she's wearing me out, so I'm going to give her what she wants. You know, when she got that, when he gave that to her, she had peace. She walked away from that with peace. What if that judge had a said, "Don't ever come back in my court again. I will never honor your request." Would she have still been able to walk away with peace? What about me? Yes, my peace level goes up when the Lord answers my request the way I wanted it. Is it possible to have peace when it doesn't go the way I wanted it? Daniel, I look at his life, went into captivity as a young man. And he went into the captivity where they were telling him, this one's going to be for 70 years. This is not going to be just some little short 2-year captivity. This is the big one. He went into captivity as a young man, and he died in captivity. And yet the peace that he had is a marvel to me. How that he was able to, when the dream was told to him by the king that was responsible for him being brought into captivity, and the king had that dream that says, this tree is going to be cut down. The birds are going to be scattered out of it. And Daniel realized what that dream meant. He could have so easily had an attitude inside that told the king, tell you what, part of that's coming probably because you took me into captivity. And that's the very thing that you need. But instead, what did he say? He said, as he realized that he didn't even want to tell the king what it was, and the king pushed him, pressed him to do it. And then he said, I tell you, I wish this interpretation would be to your enemies. What an attitude. To be able to tell the very one that had put him into captivity, I would hate for this to happen to you. And then again, when he was with another king, when Daniel was put in the lion's den, you can have a whole lot of thoughts, especially those thoughts that come to you after you realize the Lord's not going to let you get eaten up. He had all night to think about what the king had done. Of course, you know, I would want to, while I'm still there, I want to keep my thoughts right because things could change for me. But you know, he easily could have had in his mind when he first heard the king call out to him and say, Daniel, that God you've been serving, has he helped you? He could have so easily said, what were you thinking when you had me put in here anyhow? Well, what was his reply? Oh, king, live forever. Yes. I'm going to probably be here all my life, so I'd just as soon you be the one over me as anybody else. What an attitude that he was able to take. And that was what was able to keep peace in him. Well, you know, it's easy for me to think of that captivity was just Daniel and 3 other men. You know what? There was a whole lot of Jews that were taken into captivity. And I look at that 29th chapter. Sometime we won't take the time to read it now. Sometime I'd like you to read the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. It was Daniel letting them know, here's what God wants you to do. You're going to go, you know, we read the little verse over there that says, the 29 and 11, that says, I know the thoughts that I'm thinking toward you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. I would like for God to always do that to me and do it within a day. Take care of those thoughts of peace. Let it bring good into my life today. But you know what those thoughts of peace were? I need to leave them in captivity for 70 years. And it says, while you're there, here's what you do. Because you know, it'd be real easy through those 70 years for them to have nothing that they could offer to the people around them. But instead it says, build your houses, beget children. Seek the peace of the city. You know, that'd be hard to do because you could have an attitude the whole time that you're there of why was I brought into captivity? Seek the peace of the city. And he went on to say, because it's in that kind of peace that you're seeking that you'll be able to have peace yourself. So I looked at that. Those things that have the potential to destroy my peace and to destroy my faith in God. And last week it came closer to home than my Bible stories that I read. A week ago Friday, many of us got a call. It's raining hard in Louisiana. It looks like it has the potential for flooding the chapel again. And if you've seen pictures of the chapel after they finished it, those guys did a beautiful job on putting that chapel back together again. I saw pictures even after it flooded the second time. You look at it, it was like a brand new chapel. And the call goes out, and we're praying to the God where Mom and Dad used to tell me, read to me the stories of the Red Sea where God stopped it. And in fact, he even dried up the ground around it. And I still believe he's the same God. He could do that same thing again in all of us. Go to praying. Would you do it? Don't know how you can do it, but would you do it? And we get the call that evening. See, they had just posted just maybe a couple days before. We believe we can have this ready now to have camp meeting again in November. When the Son of Man returns, is he going to find faith on the earth? To where, Lord, whatever you allow into my life, I'm going to believe in God.
Yes,
because later that evening, the word comes, the doors just let go, and it's flooded again. Whatever it was, 17 inches or whatever it was. Will a man charge God foolishly?
Yes.
Lord, help us in the trials that come into our life. Because for me to be able to have peace, I'm going to have to come to the place where I realize God is in control of everything that has ever happened in my life. He is above it all. If he didn't do it, he allowed it. And so I can put it back to God. Because here's the thing. If I find it hard to trust God that he can do what he wants with his building, with his water, he had the power to do whatever he wanted with that. If I can't commit that to him, it's going to be very hard for me to commit the things that can happen to my body and to my possessions to be able to say the same thing that Job did. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul had a desire. He had a testimony that none of these things moved me. All the things that had come to him to cause him problems, none of them were able to move him. But then he had a desire. He had some kind of an affliction, some kind of a trouble. A thorn in the flesh is what he called it. And he said, I started praying to the Lord. And you know what? That's what every one of us will do. And in this area is a place that can run my peace to 10 or to 0. Because Paul is wanting an answer from the Lord. None of these things are going to move me. And the answer comes back. Nothing's going to change about your affliction. I've got grace. My grace is sufficient for you. You know what? Those kind of areas can drive us to 0. I didn't get what I wanted in my life. Or I can realize, as he did, most gladly then, I'm going to glory in these infirmities. I'm going to rise up on top of them. They're not going to get me down. Those may not be the troubles that come to us, but guaranteed, every one of us are going to have some. They're going to have some that are small enough that they just have the potential to give us a peace level of 0 for a couple days. There are others that's going to work hard to cause us to lose faith in God. There's a song I would like for us to sing in closing, because he left peace for us. It's up to me whether I tap into it or not. And the peace that he gave is not like the world can give. The world says conditions need to get right and we'll have peace. Jesus says, I'll give you peace and you can have storms going on all around you. I'd like for you to sing this song with me. When my soul was disturbed with sorrow, when my heart was burdened with sin, Jesus opened his arms of mercy and tenderly took me in. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging. In the shelter of his arms, there are storms that we all encounter. Do not fear, they will do you no harm. In the Lord you will find protection. In the shelter of His arms, there is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging. In the shelter of His arms, though the world all around be raging, and it's filled with many alarms, trust in Jesus and He will keep you. In the shelter of His arms, there is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world